Hang on 1 second.
Well, now the owl's coming on. Okay. My hair looks terrible. Thank you.
Owls don't know.
And this is the same meeting and passcode for the next meeting?
Yeah, we're going to stay on the same thing.
Okay.
Normally it goes who?
Thank you, Kath.
All right. Bye.
Yeah.
Do we want a light on?
Sure.
That's good. I think that's enough.
Me too.
You know she put this thing up.
That's a good one, Patrice.
Trying to share the screen.
Yeah.
Document. Here you go. Click on the one you want.
I don't see it.
What is it that is?
It's on the desktop.
What are you looking for?
I'm trying to get to that thing that you left on the desktop.
Okay, so if you go to the top of your screen and click the button that looks like a minus button and minimize your screen.
I don't see that.
You just top right hand corner, there's an X, there's a square, and then there's like a minus sign.
No, click on the view, click on that.
That's the change.
That exit full screen.
Okay. Hit escape on your computer.
Got it. Okay, now you should be able to go back to. There it is. Can she see it? Is she looking at the?
Can screen? You see it, Kathy?
I can't see your computer.
Can you?
So do you have to hit the upper right that says share? There.
Now can you see it?
No, it's through Zoom. You have to do share screen.
Yeah. Go down on here.
Screen. He's got to go to the bottom of the screen and hit share screen. Although,
go into.
I think.
Yep, gonna click on that. Hit share screen.
Well, I had done that.
And then hit this one.
Oh, here it is.
And then share. Oh.
Now I can see it. Perfect.
What you want to do, Jim, is hit slideshow at the top.
Is Sarah there?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, I can see your screen now. I can see the PowerPoint.
69.
From beginning. There you go.
And this is the highway right here, so you can get around if you want to try and do this.
You want to get rid of the people, you just hit that little.
You're going to need to know who.
Yeah, if you want, right, exactly. You can go there, it'll give you a different view.
Yeah, they'll disappear now.
No, there's somebody there.
Yeah, I don't get it back.
That's all that's there. That's your participants. So you don't have anybody, it looks like. Maybe somebody else.
So I was
566.
Well, that's way better than we were at 3 o'clock.
I don't know.
It was only three something. It was only 3 something at 3 o'clock.
Well, not too good for 6:10.
It's not. You're right. So, Sarah, do you want to?
You all voted, right?
You want to talk?
Anybody want more? No, we'll hold the meeting.
There and, vote first.
And Jim, so because you're actually controlling the PowerPoint,
I will gladly get up and let you control the PowerPoint. Okay. If that would be easier for you,
okay.
Why don't we do that? Since you're better, clearly better at this than I am, and it's your presentation. I will happily step aside.
Okay, so this is dangerous. Yeah, I'm sort of connecting to.
Are you waiting for anybody else to come, or would you like us to start?
No, we have to wait until 6:15.
Perfect.
See who comes. Here's another one.
He wants one.
Put another light on?
Sure. They said no.
No, okay.
After they leave, unless they stay for the whole Board of Selectmen's meeting, you're going to go?
What?
We thought you guys were staying for the whole thing.
We have an invitation for you.
We're
it's right here.
About. Best seat in the house, just for you.
There you go. Right next to the door.
Door. Oh, we're gonna have to unlock that door. Oh, I'll do that. You are like a pro at that.
Yeah, way too many.
Jim, is there an agenda for tonight?
Yeah, it's called to order, discuss, and adjourn.
That's for the second meeting.
Well, the second meeting, yeah. I don't have you on there, but you can speak on the public. That's the beginning of the meeting.
Okay.
So if you chose not to stay for the whole meeting, you wouldn't have to.
Yes, I do. Okay, so it's not on, you're not bringing it up.
We didn't, yeah, we didn't put you on as a specific agenda item. Okay. I figured you could talk in the public comment.
Okay. Okay.
You bet. I would suggest if he shows up, you know, at the beginning of the meeting, put him on because it's an addition to the agenda. It's a regular meeting, so you can do that. So I would suggest you just do it as soon as you can.
Over there.
Glasses. We don't have anything left. Oh, we've been pollen in my house from the pine trees. It was like clouds of yellow.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, pine tree.
Oh, yeah. Man, it's so bad. Have a, like, I just waves.
It's yellow like pollen. Like an impressionistic painting sometimes. You can't even see any details of anything.
I felt like I could breathe again.
Yeah, this is the last of it, hopefully.
This has been a rough spring.
It's getting a little better now.
And
69.
Have the sinuses going?
That must be the price around here.
So my hearing loss really gets,
things went up 30%.
Yeah.
I tried to do that a couple times.
Yeah. I use it.
By 3 cents on average. So you have to find a station.
Okay. It doesn't bother me too much. It doesn't dry out. The first time I have to do that, I keep 40 notes or something.
Yeah. I can have more. Yeah. Oh, my boys.
Yeah.
I don't see anybody waiting.
But maybe bottom people. I don't know.
6491331.
Yep. Okay.
Is that Beth Hardy?
Yes, it is. Thank you. I knew I recognized the room.
Okay.
Could be bad. She said she was going to try and call in. She's on the road. I'm going to start going on. See you again.
Before we start this, Goldie is playing Army Navy in Manchester Little League. Unfortunately, the other team is ahead 2-1. Perhaps double elimination. Well, I have 6:15, and thank you very much all for coming. Call to order. At this time, I'd like to welcome everybody from the Farm Commission and others. Thank you for hosting the computer. We're very grateful for that. Why don't we just go around the room and everybody introduce themselves in case somebody doesn't know somebody. I'm Pam Sawyer for Selectmen.
Jim Rupert, town administrative officer.
More for us.
Adam Teller, selectman.
Tom Elmore, landscape architect.
Sarah Nelson, architect.
Thank you very much.
And Beth Harney on the Farm Commission on the phone.
Hey, Beth.
Hey. That's from rainy North Dakota.
All right. You got a long ride?
Very long ride. Yes, very long ride, but well worth it. So I'm going to put myself on mute so that no noise gets in your meeting.
All righty. Thanks. Jump in when you need to. So let's discuss the Heritage Farm Report. Who would like to start? Would the chairwoman like to make an introductory comment?
Sure. Sarah Nelson and Tom Elmore have been working with us on master site plan review, master site plan for your review. The Farm Commission met last night and we unanimously endorsed the plan, and we hope that you'll have the same feelings about it that we do. If you have any questions or anything, just feel free to ask any of us.
Thank you. Any of the members have an additional comment? Then we'll move right on. Sarah, do you or Tom want to proceed?
We will, and thank you for allowing us to talk with you about the process. Let me just make sure I know how to use your keys on my PowerPoint. There we go. Okay, just have to hit it harder. What we would like to do is we would just briefly like to give you some background and talk to you about the goals and the background for this study that we undertook with the Farm Commission, just review the team members, talk about the process that we all took together, the program identification that we did for the farm site and the farm buildings. We want to talk with you about revenue generation, which is also an important part of the consideration for adaptively reusing part of the farm. And then walk you through the master plan components, phasing and potential costs, funding opportunities, and leave room at the end for discussion.
And just one comment that we will adjourn this at 7 p.m. because of the next meeting that has to proceed.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Okay. So just the background is that in the context of this historically as well as municipally important site, our charge was to develop a master plan that synthesizes all the prior work that's been done on the farm site with the desire for more intensive public use of the barn and the house for the benefit of the town, and in keeping with the unique historic visual and ecological characteristics of the site. The culmination of the study is a roadmap for phased implementation of the site and building improvement related to expanded public use and the development of revenue generation. The background studies, you may know of some, but perhaps not all. So as far back as 1999, there was a study to document the area of the encampment, which you all definitely are aware of. That was the first study. Our firm got involved in 2008, very shortly after the town acquired Rose Farm, and we did a condition assessment of the buildings and a historical summary of the buildings in the site. This was to allow the town to begin to make informed decisions about how to marshal the resources for stabilizing the buildings in the farm site. There was the Vibrant Communities Study Initiative for the center of Bolton, which included a review of Bolton Heritage Farm. And wonderfully, before we actually got started, the Bolton Heritage Farm Commission themselves did a business plan, which I think was presented to you in 2021. And all the while these studies are going on, various repairs have been made to
the farm to the barn in particular, our firm was involved with two of the major repairs to the roof and then to the fire damage. And then the commission has very ably been making other repairs as time and funding has permitted. So Tom and I were the lead on this study. I'm the historic architect. Tom is the historic landscape architect. Working with us was Past, who is the archaeologist who did the 1999 study and was involved again with the site study in 2008. And we also had a historic engineer, GNCB structural engineer, who worked with us in 2008. And the town staff has very graciously helped with this effort, as well as the town's consulting staff, which is Nathan Jacobson's office. So it's been a very inclusive team that's been working together and always with the Heritage Farm Commission. So our work was divided into two sort of phases. The first phase, what we called phase one, we reviewed the prior studies. We had a lot of committee discussions, a lot of site walks, research into similar operations, by which I mean barn or farm site venues that are been adaptively reused all over the state, to talk with these colleague institutions to get an understanding about what worked at their farm sites, what didn't work, things that they would suggest that we take into consideration. We conducted a program workshop with the Farm Commission, and then the archaeologist reviewed an area that had previously been studied that was some ambiguous results close to the farmhouse. And the images on the bottom, two of those are from our site walk. The center one is actually a farm site down in Durham, the Parmalee Farm, and it's just a picture that shows the support area for a public venue operation, which is something we were trying to gather information on. The phase two, and I'm going to turn this over to Tom to talk about sort of how the master planning work proceeded in terms of integrating the information that we got from other sites and then with the preliminary outlines.
So the plan that's on the screen now is our first generation of thoughts and ideas of making linkages and connections between the farm, the barn, the farmhouse, and the church property and the town hall, while at the same time acknowledging areas of archaeologically sensitive is the tan or the yellow line that you can just barely see there. The blue rectangle is where PASS had done some GPR, ground penetrating radar investigation. The oval to the left of that looks like a baseball diamond, is an area that we'd be recommending that could possibly be a natural amphitheater for low impact activities on the site. And then the triangular area out on Bolton Center Road is an area designated for improving access into the farm from the road into the site. And then the long arrow going to the north is not only access to the pads up there, but the utilities for the septic system that we believe is ultimately going to go in that location. Before you pass along. And one of the other things that you'll notice there is a bridge, and it's just to the northeast of the church parking lot, and that's to get over the wetlands, the drainage swale that's in that location. And some of the character-defining features, you know, it's interesting. I come from a very rural background, an agrarian background, and so when I get on a farm landscape that's this kind, this size and this historic and this scenic, it becomes very pastoral and very relaxing for me. And so I spend a fair amount of time walking around and digesting what is existing, how has the property been used in the past, and then try to strategize and think what is the program for the improvements that we're going to be recommending And so one of the things that we have to deal with on the east side of the farm is the manure pit area, where the tractor and the manure spreader would back down in there and the manure would come out of the barn. There's also some manure ponds in that area, retention areas. On the north side of the barn, the center view is looking east over the double stone wall, which is a very unique landscape feature, very historic. And then the picture on the right is the access way to the immediate west of the barn, the existing barn. And that little pile of stone wall that we see there, I think based on a site visit about a month ago and looking at the previous historic photographs, that was a loading area so that they could get equipment on and off of tractors, trucks and wagons, but also load animals on. Very small, very tight. And I think that there was a major feature created out of use and out of need for the farm. So in our plans, we're going to be respecting all, we're going to be impacting all three of these, respecting the two on the right and improving the area there on the left.
And in each case, whether it's the site, the barn, or the house, when we were working with the committee, what we were defining for ourselves, or what are the defining characteristics, as Tom was talking about, what's the existing use, in this case, trail walks, town events, beekeeping, on-site classrooms, and educational curriculum, and photography. What do we want to see in the future? So all of the above to continue. Overlooks for more public enjoyment of the landscape, outdoor concerts, theater, and what is needed, water, potable water, power, Wi-Fi, regularized parking, sanitation. And the barn, this wonderful barn, the defining characteristics are the massing, the siding, that authenticness of the working barn feel, its simplicity. Right now, under the Connecticut State Building Code, it's considered a utility building, which means it's not inhabited. If, in fact, we want to use it, which we do, it will need a formal change of use for assembly occupancy. And when we talk about the barn, we think about the main level loft space, which is the photograph on the right-hand side, and you know, things like farm-to-table dinners immediately spring to mind. Classrooms, it's a gathering place, and it's a desirable place for the townspeople as a rental opportunity. Below that, the center photograph, the level below, that was the stall area, which still has many features remarkably intact. And as we talk about adaptively reusing the barn, we want to keep those aspects of the barn that speak to the history, that allow us to tell the story of agricultural dairy farming in Bolton, Connecticut. And then the photograph on the left, that is this, we call it the 20th century L. It's this little bump out off the barn that goes towards Bolton Center Road. We understand that it's actually used when there are events on site. It's a registration area. So it's this sort of separate, discrete element that can operate separately from the main level, separately from the stall area. Not shown is the milking section of the barn, which is the 1980 edition. When we talked about revenue generation, what we're talking about is we're talking about the main level of the barn. We are saving the interpretive areas for interpretation. If we're going to do a change of use, if we're going to use this barn for assembly occupancy, we need to meet all of the current codes for the new assembly occupancy. And one of the most important things is that we have to provide toilet facilities. And this barn with the open siding that you can see the sky through, that we love it for, this very rough feeling, agricultural feeling, does not lend itself to
four-season heated climate-controlled use. The toilet facility has more usefulness than just supporting the assembly function. It's anytime you have an event on site, whether it's a marathon, whether it's a reenactment, having a separate standalone toilet building that can be opened and closed is actually a very important part of actually making this site be workable. And so we very quickly came to identify that the toilet facility would be separate. And that actually is what a lot of other colleague institutions have done in other towns. So it's a new structure. It's going to be compatible with existing site development. It would be open for site events, locked at other times, durable construction. And it will obviously require water, power, sewerage, and to be able to be secured. And then the farmhouse, what we heard people tell us was that everybody loves the sort of iconic New England farmhouse. It's fairly diminutive in scale. It's by the road. It very much contributes to the sense of place. It has a residential layout. There's small rooms if you've been in it. The best use is for an on-site farm office or a caretaker house. But what people respond to is the greenscape around it, the sort of visual buffer of the house by the road, some of the site elements like the stone steps into the landscape, the lawn. The final decision as to whether this becomes a caretaker's home for the site or an office in support of the site operations is something that I think the town will best make as you get involved with implementing some of these phases. And Arlene, I just wanted to ask you to talk a little bit about the sort of the opportunities for revenue that you and Beth identified.
So we decided that we would identify areas, venues that were very similar to us, being that they were rustic farms with barns and open space. And we wanted to see what they had to offer and how they operated. A lot of them were privately owned, some were nonprofit foundations, some were municipally owned. We ID'd 15 in the state. We came to the conclusion very quickly that the fees for any fees for the usage were directly related to the level of infrastructure that the venue site had. And the ways to generate these usage fees were really limited only by your imagination. Parties being birthdays, anniversaries, graduations, weddings, meetings, music nights, summer camps, educational programs, farmers markets, on and on and on, sponsored hikes, reenactments, movie nights. Basic services that they all had were parking, exterior lighting, potable water, public restrooms, picnic areas. A lot of the suggested services were professional websites with easy to find information all in one place, advertising. Most of them had a dedicated management team for coordinating events. Most of them had Wi-Fi on site. Most of them had covered event areas or a designated tent area, covered catering areas with power and water. There was one particular venue that we thought was most similar to ourselves, and that was Parmalee Farm, and I believe it's in Killingworth, correct?
You are, yes.
And Tom was very, very familiar with the working with them as well. It's municipally owned. In the beginning of its growth, a lot of the work was all volunteer. And it has evolved to the point now where it's currently looking for a full-time manager that becomes so successful. They have on their site an open air pole barn, which you will see proposed for ours, with an indoor space for meetings, and they have beautiful grounds. The revenues generated were, I would say, fairly similar throughout. Weddings are generally, for a daytime wedding, are generally around $3,000. And then depending on additional people, tables, whatnot, the prices can go up with additional fees. Private event parties for a 4-hour event was approximately $1,000. Indoor meeting rooms were anywhere from $150 to $500. So with what I consider basic site improvements, we will then have opportunity for a pole barn and ways in which we can then start to generate our own. Once we get infrastructure that is visible, and you can actually rent it, then we can begin to become more sustainable.
Thank you. So here's a teasing image of what the site would look like with the barn and with its 1980 edition and the silo in the on the far right side, and then a new toilet building on the left hand side. And we'll get into why things are sited where they are in components, but it starts with an overarching master plan, Tom.
So the plan that's presented here is a combination of our initial thoughts, the earlier plan, the idea of the LOSIP grant that's in the process of being reviewed and hopefully awarded. But what it is, it's connecting the street there by the police station and the town hall with a sinuous path through the field with a couple different bridges depending on where the path is going, and providing access to the barn, which is the large black area, the utility bathroom, which is the rectangular building to the west of the barn, and then to the house, and then showing the continuation on out to Bolton Center Road with the new driveway layout. But this scheme shows all the major features without getting into any of the details. And before you change, Sarah, so one of the things that became very obvious while we were doing our assessments and discussions is there's a fair amount of erosion, water, overland flow that comes from the north field down to the west side of the barn, down to the road. And so we're going to be proposing intercepting that with a very gentle, subtle swale, carrying the water to the west. And that'll help with these future improvements and lower the maintenance for the site moving forward. And you can also see there, we're still recommending the amphitheater to the west of the farmhouse. And then coming in closer, you can start to see more of the details. And with some subtle grading, we can make the entire area between the 7 parking spaces around to the west, around and up to the upper level of the barn, and then the path going over to town hall, we can make that all ADA and universally accessible. And so that helps us not only with the programming presently as understood, but future programming, and depending on where the different activities are, so that we can get people to the bathrooms, to the parking, the tent area, the event space to the right of the barn with the views looking to the east, but then also around up into the north field area. Obviously, once we get off into the grass, it's no longer code compliant, but we can get people around the site. And it really fell into place very naturally once we started to look at this level of detail and the design impact. One of the things that Sarah's going to talk about is where the utility, the bathroom building is. That's in the approximate location where the historic sheds were for the barn, or for the farm, excuse me. And based on historic aerial photographs, so we know that there was structures in there. We are providing the three parking spaces to the south of that, two of which would be handicapped accessible, and then some minor shrub screening to hide the parking from the town hall area. But really, we wanted to keep the improvements compact, concise, and well related to not only one another, but the existing conditions and the historic integrity of the farm. Going around to the east of the barn would be a gravel drive, accessing, reworking the concrete in the back of the barn, and also an egress vestibule for the safety access into and out of the backside of the farm.
And the tent area to the east of the barn is actually built on the area that used to be the manure pit that's been filled in. Right. So it's an area that's been extensively altered.
And one of the other reasons for looking at that area, we already have to do work to make it safe, because you already have the 4 foot, 4.5 foot tall concrete walls, which are falling hazards. You've got the manure pits, which are tripping hazards, whatever, however you want to categorize them. But knowing the archaeologically insensitive area that's here, because that's so highly disturbed as it is, this is a very low impact for the site improvements. And then coming in even closer, you can see we're to the north of the barn, or the driveway, we'll be expanding the lawn area, giving the backyard of the farmhouse a little greater yard. The area between the bathroom utility building and the barn itself, we're proposing a seating area with some benches, but that's also the area where we're proposing that the interpretive signs from the Park Service be installed. And then the little green space between the signs and the barn is rebuilding the landing, a loading platform that I talked about earlier. I think that that's one of those little tiny iconic features that you want to work hard to save. We don't want to make this into a Disney landscape where everything is clean and crisp. The seven parking spaces out to the road and to the west of the utility barn, we're proposing that all be asphalt paved, again, to help with the maintenance and the erosion issues and to make it really accessible. But the path going toward the tent area, that would quickly change to gravel and feed into the tent, but have access to the 1980 milking parlor, if I have my dates correct, for use of the barn if there's event activity going on. The silo we're proposing to keep and maintain and fix the roof.
It's been fixed.
Oh, it's been fantastic. And then one of the other subtle changes is some reinforced turf to have some grass parking if and when needed. Because really we're proposing 10 parking spaces on this site. I don't want to design this historic landscape for the Christmas rush of shopping, because then there'll be no green space left. We know full well that if there's a large event, parking's going to have to be off site and people are either going to have to walk in or shuttle in. And then the last thing is, from the seating area up to the path going into the barn, it would be a set of stairs just to make that a transition space between the upper and the lower level.
And in the barn itself, the plan on the left is what I call the main level, the big, beautiful space that you go into where you see right up to the roof structure. And so you would come in at the west gable end. There are doors, in fact, at the top, which look out to the views to the north. But what we're trying to do is we're actually trying to keep the space as is we can. The stair, there is an existing stair in the lower right-hand corner that goes down to the level of the stalls, and that would need to be reworked because we need to create a new egress passage. So that would be an intervention in that lower right corner, the the southeast corner, that then comes down in the same location on the lower level, because the lower level plan's on the right, and then you would exit out to the concrete pad Tom alluded to. On the plan on the right, the event registration stays the same. The 1980 Milking Parlor stays the same as the tent and the venue operation gets going. In the years down the road, we have identified the east end of the Milking Parlor to be used for sort of a service area where caterers can actually lay out and provide the service from. And then this was a schematic design, first look at what a toilet room, utility room building could be. Fairly simple in nature. The idea would be there's a covered porch, there's sliding doors that get locked when it's not in operation, men's and women's room, and the public water fountain off operating out of that vestibule.
What's the hallway in the back there behind the men's
room? Yeah, so that I saw as kind of equipment space. So if there was needing to be water treatment or other back of house operations. And we would need to go through design development with an engineer to figure out how much space we would need to leave in that area.
But the toilet count is actually based on the capacity of the barn. So that's not an,
yes.
Calculated design, not an objective design.
And then this is a comparison that Tom alluded to. It's a historic photo, I think from 1934, if I'm remembering correctly, showing the line of agricultural outbuildings that came west off of the gable end of the 1908 barn. And then the image on the right is just sort of a colored roof plan showing our utility building in comparison with the bigger barn assemblage of parts. We're not quite in the same location, but we're very similar. And so any new construction is really going to be in the area of already disturbed area.
And the other thing we didn't talk about, the location of the tent area, we talked about the ground plane. But what's really unique about that location is just the incredible view to the east, because the land drops right off and it just opens up in front of you. So I think that if you're able to develop that program, that's going to be a very popular venue space.
Okay. All right, so we broke it into phases, and Pam, thank you for telling me we've got 12 minutes. The first phase was just for immediate and expanded use of the site, and it included some in-kind work, the flattening of the entrance driveway, testing the water for potability, investigating power, providing Wi-Fi, marking out locations for porta potties. It's a lot, and it's not expensive. It's we assume a budget of about $5,000 to $20,000. Phase two, the site development for municipal connections, parking, ADA access. So a lot of this work, the walkways, the parking lot, the overflow parking, the handicap parking, that is going to be covered by the LOSIP grant. And I talked with Joe Dillon today, and he thought that grant was covering about $500,000 to $600,000 worth of work. So it's an extensive backbone that we're able to provide thanks to that grant. The removal of pine trees, some sort of landscape work, interception of the drainage swale, some of that it could be town provided or having a separate contractor. The enabling project for expanded site and building usage. So this is the standalone toilet building. It's the landscape improvement that Tom alluded to between the utility building and the barn. It's removing and regrading the manure pad and the manure pit. It's constructing the service access. It's the catering staging area. So that that is a $500,000 to $750,000 project with several unknowns, which is why there's such a large range of costs. And that those unknowns relate to whether there's going to be the on-site sewerage, whether it's going to be connected to the town sewerage, by which I mean septic system, community septic system. And as you go through and as time goes on, we'll be able to bring that those budget numbers sort of more closely in focus, but this is a placeholder for you. This is a large expensive phase. Phase four, renovation of the barn. Again, there are many unknowns there, but we're targeting this probably between $265,000 to $375,000, depending upon final programmatic issues, depending on final infrastructure issues. And then the farmhouse, I looked at what renovation costs were on a residential side. I was assuming basically a gut and redo of the house, taking the finishes off the inside so that we could put new mechanical, electrical, plumbing systems in, redoing the finishes. Depending on if this stays a residence at the $300,000 mark or whether it's going to an office with a change of use at the $650,000 end of things. We put together some grant sources of funding. The State Historic Preservation Office has $200,000 matching grants, which would pay for a lot of the barn work. National Trust has a small towns grant. There's Battlefield Preservation Grant. OPM has the steep grants, as you well know. And if, in fact, there was a separate 501c3 set up for the barn, there's some other opportunities for grant funding. And then the final slide is just a list of the topical work products that we'll be delivering. It's the archaeologist memos, the schematic design plans we walked you through. It's the phasing plan, the phasing budgets, and the list of funding. And hopefully I've left 5 minutes for questions.
You did a great job. Good one. So at this time, I'd ask that we could have a copy of the slideshow.
Yes, you will.
And I will just start off and ask each member of the board if they would ask just one question. We'll go around the table a couple times. And I'll start off with my first question. Do you anticipate continuing the haying of the farm in your thought process?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. Adam, do you have a question?
I don't. Just one. I think you're saying that this could function with, once you get a toilet facilities operational in an area for a tent facility, mm-hmm. that could function without the barn being able to be brought up to a standard of full support. That's what you're saying, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Michael?
I'm going to be the bum in this.
How much is it going to cost?
Well, I see how much it's going to cost. It's a very extensive project, and there's some funding out there to offset some of it. But do we have any idea what we might make in a year's time to offset some of these costs? Should we have to bond for them or borrow from some sources? I see a little tent there. What are we looking for capacity and mm-hmm. potential revenue for functions in a year? Do you have any guesstimate on that?
I make a suggestion. I don't know if you were here when we talked about, we visited 15 similar venues mm-hmm. here in the state. The one that's closest to us is Parmalee Farm in Killingworth.
Okay.
They have a wonderful website. They have a tent area which they put a pole barn in, which they use for weddings and rentals. The more infrastructure you have on,
the better you.
The yeah. more you can charge. So they get $3,000 for a wedding to rent their their pole barn, which also has an inside room. But anyway, very similar to ours, great website, outdoor bathroom facilities, the same that we're proposing. They have gotten so successful that they're now looking for a full-time manager.
Okay.
And they are also three season, which we are proposing.
Three season is, that was my next question. You know, three we're not season. Looking to be winterized or anything like that. So, so late spring, early fall kind of ending.
Correct. And once the bathrooms are in, that again becomes something that you can rent for when the cross-country series is up there or somebody else is up there. It's a tangible item that you can actually ask for a price.
Right. The other place, that, I'm sorry, I'm going to ask another question. The other place that you talked about, do they have to shuttle people in or do they have on-site parking?
They have parking, which is an equal distance to what most of our off-site parking will be. It's very, very similar to us. They're municipally owned, early stages run completely by a volunteer steering committee, and their improvements grew very similar to the way I think ours will. They got specific LOSIP grant, but not LOSIP, they got grants. They had volunteers come in, like Roger came in and did the porch. So excellent website. Answer your question.
How do you spell Parmalee?
Fees. Parmalee.
Thank you.
One last question.
Michael.
Now I'm forgetting what I was going to ask. Oh, no. Go ahead. It'll come to me.
We'll go around again. Adam, did you have another question?
Who would operate?
Who operated it? They had a steering committee, volunteers.
So volunteers would operate it and run it.
That's right. They had a 26-member volunteer team, I believe.
And that has grown. And the core four or five that are still there were initially involved, I want to say back from 2005. I was involved there, I think, in 2009, putting together our master plan. And one of the things that they do is every time a new person comes on the board or the committee, they're required to read the master plan because they really held it in high esteem, not because of we did it, but because it addressed all of their concerns from the get-go and gave them the flexibility to grow. Because we couldn't anticipate, I mean, they've added a sugar house. We did not anticipate that. But they had a very engaging small group that has evolved, and it's a very successful facility
at this
point.
They have an old house on site.
Yep.
They use their office, right?
It's the Historical Society, or it was. I don't know if it still is.
Anyway, it's very similar.
Yeah.
With a residence, too.
That was the question that I was going to ask. I know we've had oversight from historical places where we got some money and we've had to follow guidelines for screws and nuts and bolts and everything we do. How does this play into that? And is there an end date on that oversight where we could do things?
Our biggest oversight is not, well, it depends on the grants you go for. But I believe our biggest oversight is going to be passed for the archaeological. But they're more of a where you can do what.
And if I could just jump in. So what you're alluding to is the easements that came with the Historic Restoration Fund grants.
Yeah.
And I think that's a 20 or a 25-year easement.
15.
Okay.
There's only five left.
Everything that we are proposing on this plan was with the idea of being very sensitive to the site. The layout of where the tent is, the layout of the toilet room building, we've already reviewed with PAST and gotten their blessing for the locations.
One last question.
Sure.
I was only allowed one among six or seven. The figures you came out with, are those figures based on the way we had to do the reconstruction and follow all those guidelines that that are the covenants or the historical? So those monies could change 5 years down the road if we did it in phases and we got to the last phase 5 years from now. We don't have to comply with all of the historic stuff, the nuts and bolts and all of that. So would that lower the cost?
No, because 5 years from now, the unholy amount of construction escalation is going to be driving this
a lot
that,
higher.
Yeah, but that's going to happen either way.
Right. So let's ask that question. How current are the numbers? How fresh are they?
A week.
For construction?
Yeah.
Thank you. All right. I'm going to say thank you very much. We do have, we're up against a timeline and we have an addition to our next meeting.
Yeah.
We are very grateful for all the work. We're very grateful that you all came. Is there a closing comment that the commission would like to give?
Is there an agenda item for, or will this be up? Will you approve this? Will we get an official approval as a site plan that will be adopted and moved forward?
So that's something the board will discuss. It is not on this particular meeting agenda for this evening, but we'll have that discussion and see where the board wishes to proceed.
And what we would be thinking about is the upcoming LOSEP grant, and there's so much of what we've designed would actually become the basis of design layout for paths and grading. And so—
The one that's already currently been approved.
The LOSEP grant that's been approved, but the design hasn't been finalized yet. So we're trying to integrate some of this master plan work with
the— You mean as far as the pathways and all that connected? I don't think
we've received formal approval on the LOSEP grant. It did have kind of a pre-review, but I haven't seen a letter that says we've gotten formal approval.
But there's great
but it's consistent with what you have locked into this project for LOSEP.
Yes.
The pathway.
The LOSEP was applied for specifically for the Heritage Farm.
For the pathway between here and Heritage Farm. And then they asked us to expand it to include the portion of the connectivity grant that went from the farm to the high school. So right now we have a draft plan that is before a review team for approval that takes a pathway from here to the farm, which is 100% ADA compliant, and then basically a sidewalk from the farm to the high school, which we're going to call a multi-use path and not a sidewalk, because we have no sidewalk.
Right. Thank you.
So we can continue this discussion for the time. Thank you very much.
Thank you
very much. And please stay. We would love you to stay. And if you haven't voted, please run over. Polls close at 8 o'clock.
Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you so much.
Get rid of the PowerPoint. Yeah, so it's the grant that went in, the preliminary grant is like 90 degrees, there's no parking in the show. It's just coalescing.
There's more mulch. Replaced with washed off.